Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Fitness on the Front Lines. Now with a little bit extra beef. We liked Philip so much, we decided to pull him on as your new current host. He is the third wheel here now. Also, today is Veterans Day, and Philip is our resident veteran. Everybody give him a hand. Thank you for your service, Philip.
Thank you for my service.
Did you say thank me for my service?
Yeah, I always feel weird when people say that. I mean, because I would have done it regardless of, it was just a path I chose. Like,
right.
I do appreciate people thanking me, though, and yeah. Like the kindness that they show. But I don't know. I always just feel weird when I'm.
So don't say anything to Philip.
I just feel like I haven't done anything extraordinary. Lots of people have done what I've done.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I'm still in
the camp of, you know, if you know somebody who's made that kind of sacrifice, like, you need to be like, hey, I appreciate it, you know, that I get to lay down my head at night because you went over there and didn't, you know. So, I mean, I appreciate it, even though, you know, you just threw my thank you out the window. No, I'm joking.
No, I mean, there's guys I served with that did way more dangerous things than I've done.
Really?
Yeah. And
you've done that.
Like, I feel like compared to them, like, I didn't really do anything.
I just kind of like sat over there, like, it was, you know, it was whatever. But regardless, though, we have a few topics this week. Oh, and then also, I didn't introduce the normal co-host.
Yeah. How you doing?
How you doing, cheese?
Yeah. How you doing, Normie Eric?
I'm good.
Good. How has this week of training been for everybody?
Pretty normal.
I feel ran over by a Mack truck right now for some reason.
Yeah, everything hurt this week.
I'm that way. Everything hurts me right now.
I did hit a PR yesterday on jerk from the blocks, which was pretty fun.
What'd you get?
245.
Nice. Heck yeah. I hit a snatch PR last night.
Yes.
185. Almost got under 205, but I kept clanging the bar too hard and kept going out in front of me.
Yeah.
I got under it, but it was too...
That's the thing for me. Like, I feel like getting it overhead, like, if I got it overhead, yeah. I could stand up 205 or more.
Right.
Maybe. Just the timing of the point of impact and the pull with the heavier weight for me right now is just, it's not there. So.
I guess to me, I'm just like, I need to overly aggressively lift this. And so whenever I hit it, I'm like banging it towards the door instead of overhead. So that's what was happening. I was down, I was up under it and everything, but I caught it so far forward. I was like, all right, it's not happening.
I don't know. I've been having this mentality where I think of the shirt that Nathan Damron wears all the time and says train like an idiot. I feel like I've been training like an idiot. I'm like, I feel good today. I'm just going to try and hit a number that I've never hit before on this lift that I'm not even probably ready
PR for. Every day.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah, I just like training hard, you know, like pushing myself and seeing what happens. If I don't get it, I don't care. It's not a big deal.
Now, Ollie class has PRs coming up tomorrow, or like max attempts coming up tomorrow, right?
Yep.
Okay. I did notice that there wasn't just a whole lot of people show up yesterday, and it was all the Ollie people that didn't show up. So I'm like, you know what? I would wait till you're a little bit more fresh. You know, I completely understand that one. Also, Lauren, our resident Lauren, got me yesterday, so my shoulders were killing me. Now, I said everything hurts right now. My shoulders were killing me, so I scaled my dumbbell presses instead of, you know, handstand push-ups. I did dumbbell presses, and instead, I just did 35 instead of 50 like I normally would. After the workout, I had to go somewhere, and I came back. And whenever I came back, she had already done the workout, and she was like, hey, did you do 35s on the workout? I said, yeah. She goes, I did that. And then Mallory was like, ooh, and I was like, yeah, you did. She had the smug look on her face, like, you wiener. And she's like, you know what? Next time, don't be a wiener. And I was like, I'll remember that. Thanks, Lauren, for that kick in the pants. Thank you. So, But anyways, we do have a couple of topics today. The first one, since, you know, Black Friday is coming up, all that nice fun stuff, Christmas holidays are coming up, and you're like, hey, I'd kind of like some gym gear. What can I ask a Santa Claus for? And so I made a list of things that I couldn't live without, and then I made a separate list of things that are good to have. And then, of course, I want you guys to weigh in your opinions, too.
Oh, yeah.
So number one for me was CrossFit shoes. And that means shoes that are like you can lift and run in. Those are your Nanos, your Metcons, Innovates, Nobles. I know I'm missing one. There's another one.
New Balance has some. Yeah. They're not Under as good as the...
I know Under Armour.
Yeah, they're not as good as the Nikes or the Nobles or the Reeboks. Those are the top three, but...
Your top three are your Metcons, your Nanos, and your Nobles. The difference in that in a normal shoe is it has a wider base towards the heel, and it's a flat shoe, and that makes all the difference when you're trying to squat and do heavy weight and things like that. It's just better to have. It was probably the first gear purchase that I ever made for CrossFit, and I would say it reigns as my second best purchase I've ever made. I got one later on that I'll definitely say it's my like absolute best. But what are you guys' opinion on why you should have a CrossFit shoe versus just like say Vans or something like that or Chuck Taylors? You know, what's the difference between that? Because they're both flat bottom shoes. What's your opinion on the differences between those?
You wouldn't go play basketball in sneakers, so or like running shoes. I mean, it's a sport. Like you gotta buy something that caters to what we do. So
yeah.
All the shoes are different. I have them all. You really need to find
every pair.
Everyone. Ever. You really gotta find what you like though. But yeah.
Philip did the Infinity Gauntlet thing over there. He's like, he's collecting every single one.
Like, yeah, I think I was thinking along the same thing is that like every movement, at least as far as like when you're lifting weight, is so technical. You need every bit of stability that you mm-hmm. can get from whatever you're wearing. And
yeah,
I mean, Vans are flat, yes, but they have no like support for your foot otherwise. I mean,
right.
If you're just pulling, that's fine. I mean, I've deadlifted in Vans and squatted in Vans before, but if you're like moving your feet out, it's not gonna like they're so low top, you're gonna like roll your ankle.
Yeah,
probably.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So next one is knee sleeves. I can't live without my knee sleeves because my knees hurt, and some people they need that support. And then if you go and you look at say like knee sleeves. There's 8 million different brands of knee sleeves. Which one are your guys' favorite? I know Eric's had like 80 million different ones. But what knee sleeves do you guys currently use right now?
I have the Rogue knee sleeves.
I use
they're
Rogue
like,
too.
I think they're like 6 or 7 millimeter neoprene knee sleeves.
Yeah.
They're basically the same as like Reband or Ray-Ban, however you say it.
And is it Re or Ray? Ray-Ban. I think it's Ray-Ban.
I don't know.
But they're basically the same as that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love them. I wear them. I try to not wear them if I don't absolutely need to.
Yeah.
Because I don't want my muscles to kind of get accustomed to wearing that for support. But when my knees, like you said, when my knees do hurt, I will wear the heck out of them. Because it makes my knees, one, stay warm.
Yeah.
And two, it gives them just enough where it's like, if I'm kind of like off balance a little bit, it's not going to like completely move my knee the wrong way.
Right. See, I mostly keep them on so my kneecaps don't fire off of my leg. It's a good way to just like hold them in there. But no, I don't always wear them. Sometimes I go without them literally just so I make myself not rely on knee sleeves. Because after a while, gear can become a crutch to you. And you need to make sure that you can still do it without it. But Eric, since you've had 8 million different pairs of knee sleeves, what is your opinion on the best one to have?
I think Ray-Ban. They, I think their quality is the highest. The Rogue ones feel a little bit more plasticky.
Yeah.
I think the fabric on the Ray-Bans are a little stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Because my Rogue ones are already wearing down. My Ray-Bans have lasted a year before.
Yeah.
So I would try to stay away from them as long as you can, though.
Right.
Because I used to never use them, but when I started,
yeah,
you can't go back for some reason. Like, you, there's something there.
It's
and
hard.
It does. It once you start wearing them, they make your knees hurt when you don't. And it's, I don't like that, but
yeah,
I'm stuck in them. So,
is there like a timeline that you can use, even if it's a good one, like roughly how long they're supposed to last? You know,
I don't know. The biggest thing is they just start smelling.
Oh, yeah. Those things reek.
But a little thing, boil them. Boiling them?
Boil them.
Yeah, you boil them in a pot of water for like 20 minutes. It takes the smell completely out.
Really? Because I've tried washing them in a washing machine,
it
and
doesn't
it just
work
does
that well.
Not touch
no.
it that much.
Yeah.
You'll see some funky water, but it works. I swear to God, it works. I had a pair for a year and a half, and I used to do that. Like,
how often do you boil them? Like, once a month?
Once I start, they just
once
don't
they stank.
Stop. Yeah.
Katie was saying that she throws like dish soap in
that
with
could
her,
probably work, yeah,
and it like pulls the oil out, I guess,
I
or
don't
some
know.
Something.
Yeah.
Would she like put it in the dishwasher?
In the wash, regular
cook
washer. Yeah.
Because the germs in them are probably just crazy. So.
Throw the mugs in the oven.
Boil them.
Nothing
them
like putting on them. Nothing like putting them back on the three
yeah.
days later and they're still wet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's five. The worst. Yeah.
That's when you know it's going to be a great day.
But they, they warm up really fast.
Yeah.
No way.
No, so I mostly do wear them just to keep my knees warm, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And
I do the 7mm.
I was just about to ask that. What thickness do you guys use?
I had the 5, but it didn't do anything for me.
I like the 5 okay. I'm looking to get me another pair of knee sleeves this year for Christmas. I'm definitely getting 7s.
That's another thing. They're dumb expensive.
Yes.
Yeah, especially
for some
Rebus.
Stupid reason, you have to buy them separate, and they're $50 per.
Yeah,
it's
why are
so
they,
dumb.
Why are they separate?
like, what are you companies doing?
I don't know. I guess
I want
just like,
one knee unsupported.
I know,
one knee supported.
Dumb. I hate that they do that.
It's just sell them in a pair.
Just $280. Fine, do that.
Yeah. I saw one at or they have like a little kiosk at Absolute Nutrition with like Ray-Ban or Ray-Ban sleeves, and I saw one. I was like, oh, $25. That's not bad. And I was reading, I was like, oh, it's an elbow sleeve. I looked at the knee sleeve, and it was like $50.
Great.
It's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Unless you got little skinny legs, you could use it.
Yeah, and also, if you're sizing them, you have to measure your calf.
Oh, yeah,
make
that's
sure
right.
Of that, because if you measure your quad, they're going to be huge.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you don't want that.
I just got the same size as Allison.
So the next one, gear that I can't live without is wrist support. I have weak little baby wrists that hurt and scream and cry at me. At first, I had the kind that would like it Velcros to itself. It's more like a powerlifting style strap. And then I went to more Olympic weightlifting style weight straps, and I like those way better. They're a lot more flexible, and they still give you that support. And they're not too expensive. Either.
No, they're like $10.
That's also another piece of gear that I try to lift without sometimes, just to, you know, not build that that necessity. You know, so I can get away from that necessity. But do you guys have? I know we all pretty much use the same kind. We all use Olympic weightlifting straps. What are your opinions on when should you get that?
I think. If your wrists are bothering you, you should probably kind of use them occasionally until whatever pain you're experiencing maybe dissipates a little bit. Or if you're getting into a weight where it's like dangerous for you or specific to the person, where like if you catch it wrong and you don't have that wrist support, it's going to hurt your wrists. Like,
right.
Maybe then too, but it's all upon the person, whatever they feel like. I mean, it's your wrist, you know.
It does seem like people complain about wrist pain the most, because, you know, front squats are uncomfortable, overhead squats are uncomfortable, and both of those tax the wrist a whole lot. So you hear about that one probably, as a coach, I hear that one the most, instead of like, oh, my knee's going to hurt me, or, you know, my shoulder's going to hurt me. I hear it anytime we go overhead, anytime we do front squats, I hear complaints about wrists, and they're not expensive. So that's just me. I can't live without them, because they help me tremendously. Something that goes hand in hand, and this is a truly personal thing, is wrist sweatbands. I am a sweaty guy.
Oh yeah,
I got too. I got real greasy hands when I work out, and so the wrist sweatbands help out a whole lot. You see me wear them just about every single workout that I have to hold on to something, because for me, grip strength is not a problem, but it is when my hands are wet. Then it becomes a serious problem, and that happens within the first minute for me. Like, it's that fast.
Yeah.
So I'd had problems before at Elk Valley. I can't remember exactly what it was. Maybe it was on deadlifts or cleans or something. And my hands kept slipping on something, and I was like, I don't know what to do. And you, Eric, threw me your wrist, your sweatbands, and I was like, all right, I'll try it out. Best thing that has that to me is my number one piece of gear. But that's a purely personal thing. Some people don't sweat that hard, and they don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, I definitely. That's the reason why I got the wraps I have is
yeah.
Because when I was lifting in my carport, and I was trying to like, I didn't have anything, and I was just trying to like chalk my hands to kind of keep them dry, like my forearms were just like pouring sweat, and it was just like washing basically the chalk off within like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And I would end up like at the end of the week, like tearing my hands, and I'd have to tape them, and it would just feel silly trying to do anything
right
with my hands.
And so like, you said that about chalk. Some people are able to just chalk up and keep going, they're fine. I can't do that. because it washes off so fast. So I know that like makes me sound super gross, but that's just a problem that I deal with. So for me, wrist sweatbands are the number one investment I could have made for CrossFit. I know, Eric, that you also use them.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts about them?
I use them mostly when I'm doing like gymnastics type things, because I'll put the wrist band underneath. Mm-hmm. My gymnastics grip, so it doesn't dig in my wrist either.
Yeah.
It's a little trick. Because those Bear Complex have that metal hook, and dig in, and it hurts.
They'll get you.
So I put it underneath.
Yeah, I had the plastic one, or the Rogue ones, like just like the two-finger hole ones, and he gave me his because when I was in the open, I was trying to do the pull-ups, and my thing just snapped in the middle. And I was just like trying to do pull-ups, just strict pull-ups.
Yeah, and I used my gymnastics grip so little. I was just like, he needs them, he does it way more than it. So I was just like, you just take these.
But yeah, I was like, even that plastic was like digging into my wrist because I had it so tight so it wouldn't like slide all over the place.
Yeah. But I mean, I think I saw Matt Frazier wear them for he was like the first person to wear like sweatbands. I was like, that makes sense. I'm going to go get some. And
secrets
I get the
trade.
I get the quarterback ones, the longer ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ones I got to catch all the sweat.
Yep.
Not like the ones you see like in the 1980s.
Same thing. Put them on the next day and they're still wet. It's going to be a good day.
Yeah. You definitely got to like let them sit out to like air out or something.
I used to think wearing sweatbands was cool when I was in elementary school. I had like a matching set of Wilson sweatbands that I'd wear to school.
It's like that.
This test is going to make me sweaty.
Oh, man. Numbers.
Math.
I need these so bad because Goku has them. I need them.
Yeah.
That was my kind of thing when I was younger. I was like, all these anime characters have wristbands. I need wristbands.
Watch out, ladies.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so this is the last piece of gear that I have that I'm like, I can't live without. And if you guys have any more, add these to the list. But is a jump rope. Having your own jump rope that is to your height is detrimental. some people that can't get double unders, sometimes it's your rope. And that's the truth. That's something you actually can blame the gear. Yeah. You know, sometimes he's like, oh, no, it's not that. It's you. No, for the jump rope, most of it's actually the rope, in my opinion. What kind of ropes do you guys have? I have just like the Rogue. I can't remember. It was, I don't think it's an R3, if that's how they classify them. But it's the one that, like, you know, you can spin mm-hmm. them for, like, ever. What kind of ropes do you guys have?
I don't have one. I got Allison one off of Rogue. I think it was like the Chris Spieler mm-hmm. like signature edition.
Does it have really good grip?
Yeah, it actually was like really like rubbery.
Yeah,
like grippy rubber type handle.
Yeah,
but it was like didn't spin well. And I don't know if I had the right. I didn't size it right or not. But
right,
I didn't enjoy it. I just used the one here.
Now, Eric, you've had about like 8 different ropes.
Yeah, if anybody has a gear question, I've had everything. I had the RPM one, and then I'm now using the RX Smart Gear Evo, which yeah. is absurdly expensive for
it comes in a jump box, like yeah. a zip-up box that you keep, and so I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah, the Evo is $130, but I'll never use another jump rope.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So is there, like, any kind of guarantee with them or anything like that? Or
You can send it back for life if it stops spinning.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so that makes
that's a good deal.
Yeah. That makes it pretty much worth it. Yeah.
Pretty much it's made with bearings in it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to put, like, WD-40 in them because it'll break them. Only use air, and it'll break up the bearings. So
really?
Compressed air will clean them out.
Wow.
But, yeah, they spin indefinitely.
I've seen them spin before, and it goes forever.
Yeah.
They do go forever.
I mean, I got that jump rope, and I hit 250 double unders in a row, and I've never done that, so.
Nice.
It's the tool, not the man.
Sometimes, yeah, for jump ropes it is, I think, because I like, with RX Smart Gear, you put in your height before you order it.
Yeah.
So it is literally for you.
Oh, cool.
Oh, so they send it to you already, so you don't have to, like, cut it and resize
nope.
it and all that stuff.
You don't have to do anything.
Oh, my God, dude, that's
nice. And
then
when you go to get another rope, you just put in your size, your height, and they send you another one.
So do you get to like pick your rope color and all that stuff?
Yeah, they have like 50 colors.
I would do like highlighter green or highlighter yellow, something that's like obviously seen. Right now my rope is gray, and so it just blends.
Yeah, but they have heavier ropes to learn on, and then this one's more speedy, but it's actually heavier than my other one, which I now like. So
you like that better? The
you
heavier.
Can feel it.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I'm not.
And it kind of keeps the momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From my limited experience, I think, like, the lighter rope, it feels like it goes too fast and it throws off my timing.
Yeah.
And I can't, not that I can do double unders anyway, but.
Yeah. I mean, my RPM rope is literally like a guitar string.
Yeah.
It's so.
Yeah, it is.
It's just a wire.
Yeah, it's.
But you can't feel it, and I didn't really like that.
Yeah. Mm. So the next question about jump rope is long handle or short handle?
Mine's, the RX is long.
Okay. I'm saying, like, which one do you prefer more?
Long.
Long?
Yeah.
I feel like I end up kind of gripping towards the end anyway, so it wouldn't really matter either way.
I grip towards the ends too, so I didn't know if there was like,
oh, I'm holding the handle like, or the tip of the handle out.
Yeah,
so I can kind of like whip it.
I'm holding like the last 3 inches of the handle anyway.
Yeah,
so can get that little wrist whip in there.
Just as long as it has that like nice little taper for your index finger.
Yeah,
that's nice.
I don't know if I really. Now thinking about it, I don't know if I really put my finger on that taper or not. That's gonna kill me now.
At least on that one out there, the one with the plastic.
I don't know what you pointed to the door, and I looked like I was about to see a rope or something.
That general direction.
Yeah.
That one has like a narrow handle, and then it tapers at the bottom.
Yeah.
So I just use that bottom part as my index so I can really like just like kind of flick my wrist a little bit easier.
Yeah. So is there any other piece of gear that you guys are just like, I personally can't live without this?
For me?
Gym bag.
Yeah.
I thought about putting gym bag on there, but I was like, I don't know, but I did think about putting it on there.
I mean, I need one now. I have too much crap.
Allison, I need a bigger one.
Allison gave me her old one, and I love that thing. It's got so many compartments and stuff where I can kind of spread out my gear instead of just putting it all in one and then having to dig it all out. One for me, I think that's really important is, especially for like the people that do the Ollie class, is having like a good lifter.
Yeah.
And
I have that on the good to have one right here is lifters.
Yeah. I was originally using the Reebok one and then he kind of brought me over to the dark side and, with the Nike. Those and Nikes. I really love the Nikes now.
Yeah.
The heel is just like very wide and it feels like just locked into the floor.
Yeah.
Where the other one, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But I felt like when I would catch, because it was a little more narrow, if I didn't catch it perfectly with my feet, like in the right width, my heels would kind of roll inwards or outwards. Mm. And I didn't really like that, like, because I felt like I could maybe injure my knee that way.
Yeah.
And these, when I put my heel down, it just locked in. Like, it doesn't rotate in or outward. So
I as far as lifters go, I mean, I do agree that if you're getting serious about Olympic weightlifting, you for sure need lifters because they make the world a difference.
Yeah. If you're getting into Olympic weightlifting, I don't see a reason for you not to get them.
Yeah.
If you're just doing CrossFit, I don't really think you need them all that much.
No, you don't need them. You can make it with just a good CrossFit shoe.
They are expensive.
Yeah. But they will last you forever.
Yeah, I mean, my first pair lasted like 5 years.
I got my first pair in the first year that I started CrossFit just because I found them for like really cheap. Still use them to this day. That was 3 years ago, going on 3.5. Actually, right now it's right at 3.5 years that I've had those things. The only problem is a problem that I've had within the first 3 or 4 months that I had it is that there's a slight tear on the lifting strap. And it's never gotten any worse. Past that, it's literally because it's like excess plastic on the outside of the strap. And then there's like meaty plastic where the Velcro is on the inside. The thin plastic on the outside is what tore. And then it just stopped. Like it's just not. It's fine.
And so, like you said, because they are expensive, like it really pays to like read the reviews and like get a guy. Because not everybody's foot is going to fit everybody's favorite lifter the same way. Like,
and it takes them a while to break in. They're not like a normal shoe.
And they are not comfortable.
No, they're awful when you first get them.
Yeah. They're.
Yeah, I felt like I was walking around in high heels.
Yeah, buddy.
That's what we call them. Come, go put your high heels on.
That's what they said at my level, too. They said, don't put your high heels on. I was like, dang.
I will throw those things on in a second, especially like whenever I was like newer to CrossFit, I would always throw them on. I try not to rely on them as much now, but whenever I'm going for a heavy or something that's technical, like an overhead squat, I will use them. But other than that, I try to do it without them just so I don't have to rely on them now. Another piece of gear that I have that's good to have is a lifting belt. You don't need a lifting belt, but if you're getting to the point where your form's starting to break down, especially on your deadlifts, you need them. You need one. I was about to say how soon, but I pretty much just told you how soon. What kind of lifting belt do you guys suggest? Because I would suggest not getting a powerlifting style, which is like thick leather belt, because you need your belt that's going to be versatile. And powerlifting belts are good for like one rep maxes and things like that.
I think that my two favorite that I've used so far was the Tupud belt.
Yeah.
That most everybody has because I like the mechanics of it. It has that extra clip on the inside. So when you can ratchet it down and it creates a bite where a lot of other ones, it's just you have one pivot point and so it puts a lot of stress on the Velcro. Where the Tupud one creates that pinch point, and it's not really putting stress on the Velcro. You could literally take it off and still have the same tension on the belt, where the other ones, if you take it off, it's just going to open up.
What about your other one?
And then, but my favorite, I've kind of grown to like is leather, like the leather belt, like a typical,
like a powerlifting style belt.
No, like they have the Olympic lifting like leather belts. It's like very it's like the lumbar.
Oh yeah, yeah, skinny in the front. Skinny in the front. Yeah.
And it has the lumbar support in the back.
Yeah.
I just like them because they're very stiff and rigid. So when I brace, I feel like I'm really pushing into it.
Yeah.
Where the almost like the 2-put one for me got to be too comfortable, where I didn't really feel like it was being effective for me.
Right.
And that's, I mean, probably just inexperience, but.
I mean,
I've just, and ever since I've got the leather belt, I've just stuck with that.
Yeah. What about you, Eric? Because I know you've went through like.
There's a lot of things with the equipment. I think you kind of need to earn it too. I think with a belt, if you don't know how to create tension by yourself, you don't need one yet.
Right.
I
agree with that one wholeheartedly. Still don't own a belt.
Yeah. They help when you've been going for a while. You know how to brace, but you're getting to weights that are like up there for you.
Yeah.
For me, anything over 80%, I'm going to throw it on.
Yep.
A lot of misconceptions about a belt. They help your back. It's not. It's a tension support.
Yeah.
And you really need to learn how to do that yourself.
Right.
First.
Yes.
If you don't know how to do that, you don't need one yet.
Correct. Fully correct.
But when I use 2-pood, and that's it.
Yeah.
They have all sorts of things.
You got a really cool one right now that says Star Wars.
Stormtroopers.
All the Stormtroopers.
I will say they have probably the coolest designs.
Yeah, they have the coolest.
Yeah, their designs
are
the
top tier. Their belts are the coolest.
I got one. Yeah.
And they're actually not that expensive.
Yeah.
They're like $60.
And a lot
for a belt, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's good.
And they're one of the places, I don't know if you guys ever use this, but they offer the like quad pay or after pay. So like...
Oh, that's nice.
You can break it up
in
four payments, so it's really insignificant
on
your finance.
Yeah.
So that's actually like pretty
nice. Yeah, but they have tons of designs. You can find something you like on there.
Yeah.
Usually they have pretty good sales, too.
So I shouldn't have said earlier that I still don't own a belt. I bought a belt, but I don't use it. the reason that I don't is because any time that I'm, say, like out on the job and I have to pick up something heavy, I don't have time to go grab a belt.
Yeah.
You know, so I need to learn how to brace before. And so that's what I train with that mentality of, if I don't have time to go grab a belt when I need to pick up something heavy out in the wild, I don't need to train with the belt now.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been instances where I have worn one and it has helped. But that being said, I'm not anti-belt. I'm just like what you said, you need to wait as long as possible. So
yeah, I mean, even like what you were saying, like even when I'm lifting, like when I'm doing squats or like I know I'm going to build up to something that's heavy for me, I'll go as long as I can without it. Like I'll try to get as close to whatever weight I'm going to hit before I use it, because I know by that time, like I'll start to feel like a little bit of fatigue,
right?
And I know when I put that on, it's gonna, like, I'm gonna notice a difference, and it's just gonna make it seem easier relative.
It's like a wearable steroid.
Yeah, kind of.
That was a joke, but wow,
I mean,
really?
It feels, I feel like it, like doing, just for example, like if I did 280 without a belt, like I can do it. I know I could.
Yeah.
But when I'm tired, like 280 feels easy with a belt versus without.
Really?
Yeah.
So it is like a steroid that you can wear.
Yeah, kind of.
All right, so next is elbow sleeves. What are y'all's opinion on elbow sleeves?
I've never used them.
I've never used them.
Couldn't tell you.
If you have elbow problems, I would recommend getting one.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what to do, what would be good, what kind of thickness would be good. Don't know anything about them.
I have no idea.
But if you don't experience any elbow pain, don't even worry about them.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're... Probably, if you're experiencing elbow pain, it probably means you're just either overtrained or have some other muscle group that's causing tension on your elbow and it's causing pain.
Like what you just said, overtraining, that typically is what does it. So just
chill
and it'll go away.
Just rest.
Rest. If you're starting to have elbow pain, maybe you need to just chill. If it's a recurring thing, then might be a problem. Yeah. Next, I have lifting tape. I can't live without that one. Actually, no, I can, but I would rather have it.
Heck no.
Yeah.
I'm to that point where I need it.
Yeah. Need it, but if I have to do a lift and I don't have it, I'm not going to cry.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where I'm like, I
but it helps so much.
Yeah. Not sports tape like they sell at Walmart.
No, this is like thumb tape.
Yeah, yeah. It's like almost like a blend between that self-adhering tape and then like a athletic tape.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like thin like athletic tape, but it's very normal flexible.
Johnson & Johnson tape. It's way too stiff.
Yeah.
But the tape I get is flexible.
Yeah, it's from Warm Body, Cold Mind.
Yeah.
And you can bend your thumb the entire time with it. Yeah, and it's for people that do hook grip. If you're like, oh, my thumb hurts. Yeah. Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah,
but
you get doo-doo thumbs.
Yeah, you get doo-doo thumbs. Yeah. You got
yeah. yeah, like.
I don't have it.
I got a callus on the tip of my pinky somehow.
Maybe we should start taping that.
Yeah.
It's for people that hook grip. And if you're worried about hook grip hurting your thumbs, maybe look into getting some lifting tape. Or I would let somebody who's like kind of interested try out some of mine so that way they could see what it's like. Because hook gripper is a completely different animal when you have lifting tape.
Yeah.
And I won't lift without hook grip. It's the difference between heavyweight or gnaw.
You could also go down to Home Depot and get some 220 grit sandpaper and just rub your hands once a week.
Good grief.
Just kidding. Phil. Don't do that.
Do not do that. Doctor's orders. Next, I have gymnastics grips. I put that one as good to have for me because obviously I'm not gymnastics adept. People like you two who are birds, I would put that in gear you can't live without. What kind do you guys prefer? Because there's about a blue billion of them.
Yeah. Stay away from anything on Amazon, Bear Complex, or Victory for me.
Yeah, I think.
You're saying do Bear Complex or Victory.
Yeah, those are the only two brands I would mess from, with. A lot of people get like the cheap.
Yeah.
No.
Now you get what you pay for a gymnastics grip.
Yeah, I wish I would have got those from the get-go because Allison has, I think, the Bear Comp. No, she has the Victory grips, and I like that because it's all one piece of leather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's no way it's going to, like, you would have to, like, saw it in half or something to break it.
It's not going
to
tear.
Yeah, like that. The Rogue ones are nice if you don't, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, it is better than nothing.
I don't like doing pull-ups barehanded.
No, it hurts.
Like it. I always tear my hands.
Yeah.
Always.
So what about like thumb hole? Is that all just personal preference? Like how many finger holes to have?
I honestly don't even use the finger holes. I just like wrap it over the bar.
When
and
I did use them, I did that too. I just wrapped over.
I like that better. It feels more comfortable for me.
I still do that. Like a suicide grip on a bar like that. I still do that.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I mean, I would do three, but I don't use the finger holes ever.
So. Dad had a 5. It's either a 4 or 5. It was either every single finger or it was like the whole hand. I think it was a 4-holer, and it was like aggressively large. It was like I was wearing, you know, baseball gloves, like a ball glove.
I just don't. It feels. I've tried to use the finger holes on the 2-1, and it just like creates this like weird little pinch on my fingers, and it's just like causes like that friction in between your fingers and long term, like if you're doing like a long workout, it's just not going to be comfortable towards the end.
Right. So I use 3 and then I go 2 sizes bigger than what they tell me to get.
Why is that?
So it wraps more.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you don't fall off up there.
So you actually put your fingers in the hole. You don't drape it over?
No, I drape it.
You drape it, but you still go for like a 3 thumb hole?
Yeah.
3 finger hole. Oh, my God. I'm stupid. that's probably just because of how wide it is to put it up there. Okay.
But, like, people are like, my forearms always hurt, and they get tired. And I'm like, learn the tricks. So if you get the sizes that are bigger, it wraps over, and then it kind of, when you pull down, it kind of, like, they're kind of like weightlifting straps then.
Yeah.
They just lock in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't move.
Ooh, there's one that I didn't put down is weightlifting straps. What do you guys think about that one?
I got a pair at kind of like midway through since I've started.
Yeah.
And I just stopped using them because like I became like I got so focused on trying to get the straps perfect that I was just wasting so much time.
Yeah.
And focus on the actual lift. I just stopped. I'm like, if I hit the lift, I'm gonna hit the lift. If not, I'm not. I'm not gonna spend 15 minutes trying to adjust the straps to the perfect width.
So I got some, and I only ever used them after I would do farmer's carries and going into deadlifts because your grip shot by the end of that. Because like I'm already training grip, and I don't need to be focusing on grip anymore.
Now I will say that if you're doing like some kind of complex, especially with snatch, because snatch is like really stressful on the grip.
Yeah.
Having those straps is like really nice, especially when you're like, if your hand is feeling like pretty raw from like doing a lot of lifting or whatever you may be doing.
Raw those, is a good word for it.
Yeah, those straps like make it bearable to do the lift.
Yeah.
I just try to just toughen my hands as much as I can. Sometimes it's like, sometimes it's just your hand is still made out of skin. No matter how hard you train, it's just going to
always,
it's going to hurt eventually or every once in a while.
So what's your opinion on lifting straps?
I'd get them if you're like purely lifting.
Yeah.
Like if you're just doing CrossFit, no.
If you're purely Olympic lifting.
Yeah. Olympic weightlifting, powerlifting. Like you're going to need them at some point, I think.
Yeah.
Just cause like, when I was just doing Olympic weightlifting, like there were days when I did not want to grab onto a bar.
Yeah,
it hurt so bad.
Yeah, because like the more time you spend on a bar, it's going your hand. Like well, you said, your hand's always going to be
made
out
of skin.
Well, and
the bars we had at CrossFit Knoxville were the $3,000 Alico bars.
Yeah, those are gnarly.
The knurling did not wear down.
Yeah.
So your hands are constantly
like
shredded.
I've heard it's like a cheese grater.
Well, their hands. Anytime you see anybody on an Alico bar, is so taped up.
Yeah.
I bet you it's for that exact
they hurt.
Reason.
Like those bars you'll probably use for a day and then you're gonna have to go to straps.
Yeah.
One thing, since we're talking about kind of that grip topic.
Yeah.
This isn't really a weightlifting gear, but you can get it at like any pharmacy. Is a like, I don't know what the like if it has an actual name, but I call it just a callus shaver.
Oh yeah.
I've
getting
heard of
those
that.
Like and shaving them down flush, especially if you're doing a lot of like when you've been doing a lot of pull-ups, because it'll cause your callus to kind of fold over and eventually it'll just tear the whole callus off.
Yeah.
And that's when you're like, ow, my hand's bleeding. I don't want to do anything now.
That's when you're like, ow.
I mean it'll still be uncomfortable, but it's not going to rip your whole hand apart and make you bleed everywhere and prevent you from being somewhat comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, tearing your hands is an injury. So I'll definitely invest in something.
Yeah,
like
and that's going to keep you from doing, you know.
Yeah, if you get a good tear, you're out. You're not getting up on a bar for about a week.
Mm-mm. So here is the last one, and I feel like it's the most divisive. The first two are like, but the last one is like, nah, but these three things all go together, and it is a foam roller, a lacrosse ball, or a massage gun.
I think all three, honestly. Yeah. I love all three. I have Allison has a lacrosse ball, so we just share that. And we have like three or four different types of foam rollers between the two of us.
I would say a foam roller, definitely.
I like the trigger point ones because they have like the kind of that knobby centerpiece and like the different like grooves.
You really like
so it really kind of digs in there. But I definitely invested when we got our second stimulus, I think it was.
Yeah.
I went and got one because I wanted one for a long time. I've heard great things about it. And the day I got it, I was like super sore. I wasn't like really feeling like I was going to go train.
Mm-hmm.
And I used it for like about 30 minutes and it made me feel like good enough where I was like, all right, I'm going to go see what happens now. Like I was for sure not going to train before that.
Right.
So I think if you have the funds available to get one and you're serious about lifting long term, you know, it's a great tool to have.
I do have a massage gun. Do all three of us have one?
I don't.
Okay, Eric don't have one. I was, for some reason, I was thinking that you had one. But the way that I use one is not for mobility, but it's to break up soreness.
Yep.
They sell them as a mobility gun. I don't think it's added anything to mobility for me, but it does break up soreness pretty well. I recommend it for that. That's just me. A lacrosse ball, I have them here at the gym, so I don't need one. I do have a foam roller at the house that I use periodically. I would say foam roller number one for that one.
Another one too, like it's basically the same thing. It's just on the roller stick.
Yeah.
That Trigger Point has a similar thing. It's like a roller stick, and I.
Oh, that's where you like press down and roll it out.
Well,
Eric, you just use a wooden spoon, don't you?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Scrape it.
Yeah.
With like use some like lotion or something and just scrape it.
Yeah.
It feels great, honestly.
Just peel the skin away. Yeah.
But I had a hamstring injury like 5 or 6 years ago from jiu-jitsu, and
yeah.
I used one of those, and the guy showed me what to do for a hamstring, mm-hmm. and I like before it was like.
And you did that on yourself?
Yeah, I just put it underneath my hamstring and like plugged it so it didn't roll.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just turned, like lifted my heel off the ground, and I had my knee up to my knee supported.
Gotcha.
And I just turned my toes side to side, and it really dug into my hamstring and broke up that scar tissue. And before, like, it was painful to walk. And afterwards, like, dang, I feel like I could go for a run right now. Like, it was pretty wild, like, how much difference it made.
Huh. Cool. So as far as, is there any other kind of gear that you guys can think about?
Yeah, hip halo.
Ooh, hip halo is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could use a Mark Bell slingshot. It's probably one of the best things I've bought. It's like $24.
Yeah.
But as far as warming up or squatting, I don't think there's anything better.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Your hip, like, if your hips aren't, like, you're not activating your hips, you're not really going to get the most out of squatting, I don't think. Like,
yeah.
It's going to feel a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
Plus, for me, quad dominant, so it helps me use posterior.
Right. Anything else?
Voodoo floss.
Ooh, voodoo floss.
I've seen you guys use that. That's like the
so you wrap your
latex
elbows, knees,
kind of.
Yeah.
And you're just like kind of like running it through range of motion.
It basically cuts off blood flow to the site.
Ooh, and it is so uncomfortable. But
you don't leave it on for more than 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But once blood rushes back through, it breaks up any any stuff.
Whenever you peel that thing off, oh my God, it feels so good.
Yeah. Sometimes it works. Some things it doesn't work for because it might not be like. For me, my elbows sometimes hurt, and I'll do it, and it doesn't really get rid of it, so it's got to be something else.
Yeah.
But for, like, warming up, I think they're great.
It's all that bicep work that you do. That's really what it actually
is.
Like, other than that, like, I think maybe clothing, like, and that sounds like a little extra to even depend on, like, good clothing, but, like, I know you guys probably have like a preferred type of clothing you wear, like, or like a certain feel for clothing that you like to do when you lift. Like, I like wearing joggers. Like, even in the summertime, I like wearing joggers. I like sweating. I like being warm. Like, I hate being cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I'm doing any kind of physical exertion.
Yeah. I'd rather it be warm if I'm working out.
Yeah. For sure. I know for me, it's like compression shorts all the way. Yeah. So you can't beat that. Well, other than that, so is that it as far as gear that you guys?
That's all I can think of. That's like the most important things.
Yeah, I think the hardest for most people is finding the shoes you like.
Yeah,
because these days there's so many brands now,
and they're also expensive too.
And when I got into CrossFit, it was only Reebok. They're the only ones that had anything, so there wasn't anything to judge off of.
Yeah,
but now it's just like pick one.
So what's your favorite right now?
Metcon 7 for sure.
The Metcon 7s?
Yeah. And I had the ones when they first came out, which was, I guess, 7 years ago. And I didn't have them since. Did Reebok. Tried the Nobles. Didn't really like those. But these 7s are nutty.
I know for me, I've been Nanos for most of my CrossFit career. I had a set of Metcon 4s, and those were my favorite that I've ever had. I just like the way they felt the most, but they squeaked. There was a big problem with them that they would squeak. Excuse me. And so after a while of using them, they would just like rent every single time you stepped, and it just got really on my nerves. And so I just got another shoe.
Yeah.
I know there's a, like a fix that you can get around that, but eh, you know.
Yeah. For me, I had a pair of New Balance. It's like their equivalent. It's not nearly as popular, probably not even as good.
Yeah.
But it was just like a accessible flat like bottom shoe that was like I could use for like running, training, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I used that one and it felt like too narrow. And then like Allison's brother actually sent me a pair of shoes and they were Reebok. I was like, I don't really know Reebok. And they're like, he's like, well, they're a CrossFit shoe. And I was like, I didn't really know much about CrossFit shoes or anything like that at the time. I knew like typically you wanted to have like a flatter sole.
Right.
But I actually sent me a pair of Nano 9s. And aside from them just being slightly too big, I love them.
Yeah.
Because they were like really nice.
The 9s are good. The 10s are really good,
too.
They're
tough. They're durable. Yeah. Like, you could put them... I put them through the ringer, like...
Yeah.
And then...
They'll put up with a lot of stuff, you know?
And then I got the 10s for Christmas, and as far as trainers go, that's like... I haven't tried the Nikes or the Nobles.
Yeah.
So, I can't really say I dislike them, but I really like these Nanos a lot because of the support it has on the Achilles tendon. It kind of rides up the back, and it feels... a little bit taller.
Yeah.
So it just feels like your foot is not going to, it's going to be locked in. You can kind of drive off of it more.
Nice.
The 9s felt, they were nice, but they're like a little lower. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
They're a little lower. So sometimes your heel feels like it could, if you're like really good on your toes, it could pop out or something of your shoe.
Now, a shoe that I really liked, I liked the 8s a whole lot too. That was a good shoe. The 9s and the 10s are better, but if all you can find is like 8s, that's still a really good shoe. I ran a Spartan race in a pair of 8s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can do anything in them.
Yeah. I mean, for me right now, it's the Metcon 7 is best shoe I've used for training.
Yeah.
Nano 10s and 9s are next. And then...
like in that order?
Yeah. And then, I guess, Nobles. The only thing I don't like about the Nobles is the shoe feels so thin, like as far as over your foot, I just can't.
Is it like really like the material like really just, flexible?
Yeah,
like where you can like push your toe up into it a lot, and it feels like, because you know some they're like you, when you lift your toe up, it's like a flexible material, but it's stiff. It doesn't really move.
Yeah, I don't. Their shoes are just kind of weird.
Like you know like. This is a bad example, but like the Nike Free Runs, they have that material.
Yeah.
It's like really thin or like super light.
Not like that.
Yeah.
Like you can, it's almost like very stretchy, like elastic.
I know that whenever I see newer people come in, and I did this too, but when I see newer people come in, they come in with like running shoes and more like.
Yeah, no, you got to not do that.
And then, you know, and you see them try to, you know, squat and you know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to start rocking all over their feet. They're not going to be stable and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, I'm guilty. Guilty. Yeah.
I did it too. Like my first shoes I did whenever I had training was a pair of Vans that I already had. And Eric was like, whenever I was there, I was like, all right, I need some like training shoes. And I went and got the wrong kind of shoe and wore them for about 3 months. And then Eric was like, you need a CrossFit shoe. And I was like, dang it, okay. But best investment I ever made.
Yeah, I would.
Second best.
If I had to be a new ball over again, I would rather lift in Vans for this than I would in a running shoe.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Like,
and honestly, none of them feel good to run in CrossFit shoe wise.
No.
They all are kind of bad.
Yeah, no, I mean,
they'll get you by for what we do, which is 400 meters to 800.
Yeah.
But if you're like running miles, wear something
else. You need another shoe. Like if you're planning on running like several miles at a time.
Because I hear that a lot. Are they good to run in? And I'm like, no, none of them are.
No, if we're talking distance, like distance running,
you need a running shoe.
Yeah.
Like my favorite that I've ever had, and I will. If I'm going to run in a running shoe, is Mizuno. They're my favorite shoe. I've never bought anything else.
Yeah.
They're just like a CrossFit shoe. They're expensive as heck, but
yeah,
it feels like you're running on a pillow.
anything that's good is expensive as heck.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is. And that's one thing I won't skimp on is, like, gear that's going to provide me protection.
Right.
Because if you're going to do something long-term, you're going to need to...
For me, basically, like, Rogue Invitational was just happened. Yep. Look at what all they're wearing.
Yep.
They're not going to be wearing garbage.
Whatever Guy is wearing, buy that.
Yeah.
Now, what shoe do I need to wear to do a clean and jerk complex at 360-something pounds?
But, yeah, look at what they're wearing, but also make sure they wear that brand as they're training.
Yeah.
Because they'll do that to you. They'll wear it out there, but then they'll wear something else.
Because they're getting paid for something else.
So be careful with that, too.
Yeah, watch what's in the, like, their like, YouTube.
See
and
what they're actually using.
Yeah.
And if they actually use what they say.
Tis true.
And
tis very true.
Yeah, if you're going to spend money on something, make sure, like, I didn't, like, those lifters I gave or sold to Cheney.
Yeah.
I didn't read, like, all the details, so I just assumed that they were true to size. Like, there was no discrepancy. So I got my size that I always get in a shoe, and they were, like, half a size too big. And every time I try to, like, get in my heel, it would just, you'd, like, slide. Yeah.
That's not something you want with...
That's a recommendation, too, when you... If you're going to shell out the money for something like that, and it's going to be in the pricey range, like, read everything, read all the reviews, the details, that stuff.
Definitely do your research.
If you're going on a trip anywhere that has any kind of, like, outlet stores close to it, I've gotten all my lifters half price by going to outlet stores. But I say all is in the two pairs of lifters that I own. I own two pairs of Reebok Legacy lifters. One of them still brand new because I've, like, let Cheney use them twice, and that's it. And then one other person at Elk Valley use them. I've never used them, but they're for whenever I just, like, got them because I got them for a deal. Those kinds of shoes are at, like, Reebok and Nike outlets. Not like Nike stores or Reebok stores. I mean, outlets. So if you're like, man, that's just too expensive, but hey, I'm going to Florida in a month, or I'm going to the Smokies in a month or something, somewhere, anywhere that has, you know, like the Tanger outlets or anything like that, check those places out because they also have good deals on CrossFit shoes. I paid full price one time for a pair of CrossFit shoes, and the ones that I have on right now, because I got access to them because I have my L1. The ones I have are, like, limited edition. Mm-hmm. And it's just because I
have
my
L1. Is it
the
black and white ones?
No, it's these.
The color
bottom ones. I say as I literally just
hype. I was thinking of the lifters for some reason.
No. I'm talking about the Nano 10s that I have. Okay. Those are the only ones I've ever paid full price for.
All my Ollie people have been getting their Ollie shoes off Poshmark for like $90, and I'm like, oh, that's a steal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because even I got...
Those are $200 and up.
Yeah, I got the oldest. I paid
$240 for my last ones.
Yeah. So, I mean, I paid $100 for both my pairs.
Yeah, which is a steal.
So the Romolio 4s, which are the ones that are before the ones I have, are, like, newer, and they're, like, the Romolios are still, like, $200.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't... They don't go on sale very much.
No.
And they sell out very fast for some weird reason.
Yes. That is the truth. Well, anyways, guys, you have anything you'd like to add? We're right at an hour.
If you have a brand that you like, you know, don't be scared to try a new brand if you can afford it, you know, like, I've always had Reebok stuff since I started a year ago, and just recently I switched my lifters to Nike, and I have enjoyed them a lot. Like, so don't be scared to try something, and because it might be better than what you have now, and you might like it more. So,
say, like, you know, with knee sleeves, the ones I was planning on trying to get was some SBD sleeves. I want to try those out. None of us have ever, I've never come across anybody.
A lot of lifters, like Olympic weight lifters, use those now.
A lot of Ollie lifters, a lot of strongmen, and a lot of power lifters use them.
What are they?
SBD.
Whose brand is that?
I think that brand is SBD. Yeah, I don't know what it stands for.
The brand is SBD. It's like strength, something, determination. They're a big sponsor of like World's Strongest Man and Rogue Invitational and stuff for the strongman part. You see a lot of strongmen and powerlifters wear their stuff, and like their singlets and things like that. Like you said, you also see a lot of Olympic
weightlifters. I've seen Nathan Dameron wear like SBD sleeves. A lot of people at Cal Strength where I've seen wearing SBD stuff.
Right. And see, you don't really see any CrossFitters wear any of them. So I'm like, why?
I think
strongmen use them to like do running events and stuff. So they're, you know, flexible.
I think most people are like, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think most people are accustomed to seeing like Rogue or Ray-Ban.
That could be why.
Ray-Ban sleeves, like those are the more popular ones I've seen most people wearing.
I'm going to give them a shot and just see what they're like. And if I'm like, they're good for static strength, I'll keep them for that, you know.
You might like them better than anything you've ever had.
I hate them.
Yeah, you may hate them too.
So, but I'll be that pioneer, guys.
But somebody else, like, I mean, if you don't like them, somebody else most likely will buy them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's for sure.
You can kind of recoup some of your money if you don't like them.
You can buy my stank sleeve if you want.
Completely.
Anyways. All right, guys. That'll be it for this episode. The next episode would have been scheduled for Thanksgiving Day. We're going to do it the following Thursday after that. So that would be in December. Don't exactly know what date that is, but it's the Thursday after Thanksgiving. guys, if you want to follow us on our social media, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Rocket City CrossFit. You can find us on our other podcast, The Secret Dungeon. And guys, we will see you next episode.